Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. Well, good morning. My name's Eric Hamm. My wife and best friend, Joy Hamm, is right here. Happy St. Patrick's today. It actually goes pretty well with what I'm hoping to share and express this morning. But did you know St. Patrick, even though he's the patron saint of Ireland, he's from Britain. And does anybody know how he wound up in Ireland? You know, right, he was actually kidnapped by slavers, taken there. And after 6 years, he escaped and God put on his heart when he was back in Britain, he saw an angel telling him that Irish people were calling him back to bring Christianity. So he actually did go back as faithful to that vision to share the gospel. And, you know, obviously it had a great impact on Ireland. And does anybody know what was his favorite gospel tract, so to speak, or what his favorite thing to use was to share the gospel? Yes, it was the clover, which, you know, most of them have three leaves, and he would use that to introduce the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that does kind of play in here exactly, again, what we're going to talk about today. So I thought the perfect description or kind of title of this was a book that my aunt and uncle gave me when I was in high school. And the book challenged my faith so much that it actually offended me. And I set it aside. And for 8 years, I totally ignored what even the message or what the story of the book was. So the title of the book was The One Thing That You Can't Do in Heaven. You know, so it's kind of intriguing. What was that referring to? And essentially what it's saying is we are in this tiny sliver of eternity right now as believers, where we're bumping elbows with non-believers and with unbelievers. And it's like one day when we're in heaven in eternity, there's not going to be the opportunity to share the kingdom. There's not going to be the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody or to pray for somebody to be healed. So his point in this book essentially is, hey, this is a major calling that each one of us and that all of us have. So kind of a quick, interesting thing from any message that's given, whether you listen to a podcast or a sermon, they've actually said there's only two ways that you end up taking anything from that or walking away and remembering it. So one is if you write down something that was interesting to you or that you don't want to forget. Or the second thing is that you be intentional to talk to somebody about it afterwards, and that's a way of kind of solidifying that thing in your spirit where it has a lasting impact. So just an opening, I want to share a couple interesting details as far as the gospel and people sharing the gospel. So do you know, or do you have a guess, what's the average amount of times that people have to hear the gospel before they actually surrender their life to Jesus Christ? Good job. And the answer is 7 times that person generally needs to hear it before they accept it, before they receive it. And, you know, it's not to say a person might not receive on their first time or their 20th time, but the fact is there is a repetitious part to that, an experience for people to hear the gospel. And my life was changed when my cousin Christina, who was probably 9 years old at the time, I was 6. And I was growing up in a household where there was drugs, alcohol, like it was a very bad situation. And we both stayed the night at my grandma's house. And she shared the gospel with me. And I don't even remember all the details of what she said, other than I went back to that house and the drugs and all the stuff that was going on. And it was like the Lord put this almost like habit. It was almost like I couldn't stop repeating as a little kid, I love God and Jesus, I hate the devil. I love God and Jesus, I hate the devil. I love God and Jesus, I hate the devil. So there's just a thing there where it's like we plant a seed sometimes. My cousin planted that seed, And I don't even think she did it perfectly. I don't remember about Jesus being on the cross. I just kind of remember her saying, you need Jesus to go to heaven one day, and if not, it's hell. And that freaked me out as a kid. And that was like what it took for me in that. And then also, somebody stepped out to me, even as a believer, when I had gotten really sick with multiple sclerosis. It was just a man who came up to me that I didn't even know him, and he didn't know my name, probably about the first 6 months we were friends. But he just prayed for me to be healed and started teaching me some of the different things that it takes, you know, according to the Word of God, in order to be healed. And something Joy reminded me this morning driving here, she said, hey, it was St. Patrick's Day where we both ran a race. This was a few years ago, but it was like my bottom of the barrel when I had gotten really sick with multiple sclerosis. I couldn't lift a trash bag out of the trash can. It was like, I'll never forget that moment because I'd read the verse about 2 minutes later where God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I was like, not inspired. I was like, how is your strength going to be made perfect this way? And he said, now that you're actually listening, I'll show you. You know, I'll reveal to you how my strength is going to be made perfected. So cool thing, ran a 5K on that St. Patrick's Day. I forgot that. So this is kind of a celebration of what God is doing, who he is, and who we get to show him to be from what we have experienced with that. So average amount of times people need to hear the gospel is 7 times. Do you know, and this is pretty wild, what percentage of Christians do they find share their faith? Is 2%. And Zondervan actually did a kind of an advanced study, and they said as far as Christians who share their faith regularly is 1%. Now, I know that's kind of like the body at large, and one of the things, Joy, I love about Awake Church is the maturity that's here and the people that spur us on. So I feel like that statistic's not accurate for here, but the fact is, wherever any one of us is in this point, in this sliver of eternity of sharing our faith, really want to encourage each one of us to take it to the next level. Because the fact is, anytime we share the gospel, you know, Paul said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. So the fact is, anytime we take that step up, like, you know, demons, like, they do not, they're wanting to lie to us that we're bothering that person, or you're going to get rejected, or they're not. It's like he does not want us, because all of heaven is like behind us on this person's behalf. Because did you know, I love the scriptures that talk about the will of God. There's one that says, it is not God's will that any man should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth, or would come to the knowledge of repentance. So I just think of God like stacking up dominoes in a person's life. And he's like, which believer is going to step out in faith and just touch that right thing? It's like, you know, it's all going to line up and reveal to that person that there is a God. He does love them. He is for them. And we get to be that ambassador. We get to be that person that steps out. Okay, next question. On planet Earth, every week, well, I'll just tell you. There's about 1 million people who die every week on planet Earth. And if you think about it, that's old people, young people, healthy people, sick people. And it's wild to think about how many of those people were on the line of making a decision about God. Like how many people just needed somebody to kind of make a nudge towards them to, hey, are you interested? Do you know what the gospel is? Like, do you believe this? And kind of a sort of an interesting encounter I had one time was with my YWAM team, Youth with a Mission. We went to Amsterdam. And you know, they all speak English there, so people can understand you there. But people were not very interested in hearing about the gospel. Like, it was kind of a lot of rejection out there when we were doing that. But as we were walking back in, and it was cold, it was rainy, there was a guy sitting in a service truck, and we had brought out this, like, you know, we all had to make signs for the gospel, and like, yeah, that's interesting how people can take that sometimes. So my group, we put free coffee on ours, so that started conversations. But we had a little coffee left, and I walked up to this service guy, and I was like, I think we just need to share the gospel with him. And as we shared it with him, we're like, yeah, do you believe this? Would you want to give your life to Jesus? He said, you know what? My friend has been telling me about Jesus for kind of a long time. I think I am ready to give my life to Christ. It was like kind of after that day of rejection, that was so encouraging. But it's like, hey, you just keep putting that out there. You just keep sharing the gospel. I think one of my favorite analogies of the gospel is where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you know, the first one third of Jesus's disciples were fishermen. And I'd wonder before, why would Jesus have chosen to do that? Why was he doing that? Well, obviously fishermen were kind of like the lowlier, I think, in the society. They weren't like the, the graduates from the rabbi school and stuff. So in a way, God's like, let me show my strength through weakness, you know, through imperfect vessels that Jesus could use them. But I also think as fishermen, there's a lot of different kind of like skills and overlap of things that you do fishing that really does pertain to evangelizing or witnessing or sharing the gospel with people. And so when I was in high school, Proverbs says that the glory of children is their fathers. Okay, and we're doing a study on Proverbs right now in the Forge, so we're getting this deep dive. So one of the glories that I experienced with my dad in high school was that he would take me fishing. And we actually called it Friday Night Fishing Club. And it was like I would sit in school and think about, oh, we're going to get to go out there. And we would do a campfire and we'd take a cast iron skillet. And, you know, it's just, I looked forward to it every week. Well, one of the first things I would do as a new fisherman is, you know, I might cast my line out there, but then I was like, oh, maybe it fell off or, you know, whatever. So I'd reel it in and I might switch it up. And I was constantly messing with it. And my dad taught me a lesson out there about fishing that actually pertains to the gospel. And he said, son, if your line's not in the water, you're not going to catch any fish. So it was just like this thing of like, we need to have the gospel out there with people. And I'll actually share a couple ideas and ways that I do it. And something that's been very helpful and good for me is, you know, Joy's reminding me, she's like, Eric, not everybody has to do it how you do it. And so I'm like, exactly, I agree. Like, yeah, we all need to be doing it, but we have unique ways of doing that or expressing that. Okay, and then the other thing that my dad and my Uncle Tom that we would go fishing with, they always told me the story of a canoe trip they went on one time, and they were going between these two rocks, and a fish jumped out of the water into their boat, and it was like a big bass. It was like, whoa. I'm like, hey, in 25 years of fishing, I've never had a fish just jump out of the water into my boat before. But I think, especially for that time that I was offended by that book and what it was saying about, you know, how we need to be more out there with doing evangelism, I had just always thought of that scripture, always have an answer for the hope that is within you. That was like that's how I thought of evangelism, was just live such a good life that somebody will want to know or ask. But I've got to tell you, that's so rare that somebody would give their life to Jesus, just, and we should live lives for that. But a fish jumping into your boat, that's not the primary way of catching fish. You've got to have your line in the water. And the other thought I've had too is, you know, when you're fishing, you might cast 10 times, 20 times before you actually catch something, before you catch a fish. So there is just this interaction that we're having with people as we go about and as we do the gospel. Just another couple statistics. Right now in the United States, there's almost 10,000 deaths from overdose every month right now. And 2023 is the first year that suicides have ever surpassed 50,000 people in our country. So the fact is this, the harvest truly is plentiful right now. And actually, if it's okay, I do have a few scriptures that if we can put up here, we're going to start going through here. Okay, so the first one will be Romans 10:13. Okay. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So right here, this is saying, how shall they preach unless they are sent? And the fact is, while some people have more evangelism, I think, in their, you know, in their blood or their DNA to do it, do you remember Timothy, who Paul had to remind him not to be timid, but you have a power, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind? Like, he was having to encourage him, and he told him, do the work of an evangelist. So that is something that each one of us has been sent by Jesus. So we'll go ahead and look at the next scripture, which is Mark 16, 15. And it says, and he said, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So this is a calling that we do have to share the gospel, to preach the gospel with people. And it's kind of a skill. It's something that you develop doing. It's actually a good thing to practice doing. So just, it was either yesterday or the day before, kind of one of my favorite places where I get into conversations is at the YMCA, specifically like in the sauna or the hot tub, because there's just people who are there. And started in a conversation with the guy that was sitting there, and he started sharing about his grandchildren and some of these things. And then one thing that I've been learning to ask the Holy Spirit is, what is the entry question to this person? Like, would you show me what might be a good question to get the ball rolling? And the question I asked him was, so what's your spiritual background? What was your upbringing? And he just started saying kind of quickly, it was Catholic. He didn't like it. And then he kind of went on to say that, well, government shouldn't have any kind of say in what we believe, or, you know, this thing. So I was like, okay, interesting. But eventually I just asked him, from your background, do you remember, according to the Bible, what is the gospel? Like, what is the good news? And he couldn't remember. And at that point, it kind of like peaked into his curiosity. Like, he was just, okay, you know, he's open to hear this. So basically I just shared him, and this is kind of the gospel, you know, spiel that I'll give to people, is that God in heaven loves you so much, and he created you in order to have an intimate relationship with you and to show himself strong on your behalf. And then I'll ask him, do you know what causes separation between man and God with that intimacy? And, you know, a lot of times they're not sure, and I'll say, well, sin, when we do wrong, like Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that caused a separation. And for all of, like, God, he wants us to come back together to him, and he's actually made a way to do that. And then I'll point out, you know, it's year 2024 right now. When you go back to, what did they set as year zero? That was like when Jesus was on the earth. So I said, did you realize every time you write the date, you're acknowledging the greatness of this man, Jesus, who lived for us, died on a cross for our sins, was buried for 3 days, and then he rose again. And the Bible says, if you say with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's like, it's interesting to see the look on a person's face when you're sharing some of that, because some people are so locked on, and it's like just downloading. And Becky's here. I was actually on a life team, John G. Lake, kind of a healing life team, where you go out and share the gospel and pray for people to be healed very intentionally. And it's like, when someone's in receiving mode, you're just like, all right, Holy Spirit, keep it coming, because this is planting seeds. This is watering right now. And in regards to that question, you know, that inroads for a person, so the last time, so we have an outreach team at Awake now. We meet 2 Friday nights a month. We come together, we do a training, and then we'll go out somewhere in the community to share the gospel and pray for people, the gospel of the kingdom. It's like, let's not just tell them with words. We're going to come with power, the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Well, we had a fun kind of like choose your own adventure night, where it's like, hey, you get to pick a business that's within a mile, and then come back in an hour and a half and we're going to share testimonies. Well, Todd was in my group and a friend, Peter, and we're like, hey, you know what? Let's walk over to the ABC store. Like, maybe something interesting will happen. So we went there. It was cold. It was rainy. It was a Friday night. And so we're just kind of standing under the awning. And, you know, we had kind of the Holy Spirit thought, like, well, let's kind of greet them on their way in, but we'll try to share the gospel on their way out, you know, just in case somebody went in and complained or something. So as they were coming out, at first we were trying just some of the generic, kind of the general, like, hey, we're praying for people tonight. Is there any way that we can pray for you? And it was just like people, probably six or seven people, not interested, just kept going. And that's very uncommon right now. If you go to the mall, I mean, Mike, I don't know what I'd say. Close to 90% of people are open to a conversation right now if you just step out to start the conversation with them. But we were batting zero at first at the ABC store. And it's like, okay, so let's walk around the building and just pray in the Spirit. Let's start praying. And, you know, Peter, bless his heart, he had sandals on. Again, but we're doing this thing. So we walked around. And as we got close to the front, Todd said, you know, I just felt like God told me that somebody has heaviness and that's what we need to pray for. So I said, you know what? The next person that walks out the door, just tell them that you heard that word for them and let's go that approach. So a guy came out, dressed really nice, over 6 feet tall, dress shoes on, had his, you know, whatever he just purchased under his arm walking out. And Todd just said, excuse me, sir, I just felt like the Lord said you had heaviness and I wanted to know if we could pray for you. And the guy like stopped and he said, that's funny you mentioned that because I've got this whole work situation and these people, da, da, da. And he came over and let us pray and minister the gospel. And then we were able to as well, you know, share an invitation. Hey, we'd like you to come worship for us. We're right over here in this building at Awake. And it was like the next five people that came out, we kept asking God, just, this is what God taught me in that moment. I felt like God said, Eric, I will give you one word. I always thought a prophetic thing had to be this big, long, I'm simple. God would just give us one word. And the next lady that walked out, I said, and she had earbuds in too. So that's, you know, kind of looking at her phone. That's, whoa, that doesn't seem somebody interested. I said, excuse me, I heard the word pain when you walked past. Is there any way we can pray for you? And she like stopped and she said, I've got a terrible headache right now. Come on. You know, she came over. Prayed for her to be healed. She's like, we're like, how's your head? She's like, totally better. I'm like, oh, awesome. It's like, God loves these people so much more than we do. And it was just one word after another, finances, entrepreneurship, this type thing. Yeah, he's worthy and he's faithful. And he's looking for us. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the earth to show himself strong on their behalf, who will take a stand for him, who will do, you know, step out of the boat for him. Okay, so Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And you know what the amazing thing, the word that Jesus used there about sending the laborers into the harvest? It's a very powerful word. It's ekbalos, which is the same word for casting a demon out of a person. It's like that demon kind of wants to be where they're at, but you know, you cast it out. Well, and again, to me, for those years, it's like Christians, I think we like to be in the boat, but it's that same word. Jesus is like, pray that God would cast us into this harvest because he loves the harvest. He created people that they could know him, that they could experience him. And the fact is, when we go out in love, the banner over us is love. And that's just an inroads to people who have maybe never experienced the love of God. They may have never experienced the healing of God or the encouragement of God. And that's something that we get the opportunity to go out and do. So the harvest is plentiful. Jesus said that. The laborers are few. And actually, the next scripture we're going to put up there is in conjunction. So remember what Jesus says about the harvest. Okay, so we're going to do Proverbs 10:5. So it says, he who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So can you imagine, here we are on this earth, here we are with our lifetime in the midst of a harvest, and we have the opportunity to be a part of what the Father is doing, to come alongside of him and what he's doing, but we also get the choice to not take part in that. And part of the thing, and at the end, I wanted to share a homework assignment for everybody. And this was something I had done one time, but I was like, sometimes I wanted to start that conversation. I feel like God would give me a word or something, but there was just something that was, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I step out and take that chance? And what I felt like God was saying essentially is that, hey, we need to kind of do some self-examination. What are the biggest things that keep me from actually stepping out, or that would keep you from stepping out more often? And I'll just be open and honest. For me, I think part of my childhood, I had always had this belief I was bothering people. So that was a big thing that held me back from just starting a conversation or to even pray for somebody, was that voice there. So I needed to have healing and kind of get over that. Rejection was a thing that I dealt with. And so it's like, oh, am I afraid of like rejection or something like that? And I think the third thing, maybe for myself, was I was just so set in whatever my daily to-do list or schedule was, it was kind of like selfishness or laziness that I wasn't, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm just going to do this thing. Because even Jonah shows up in Nineveh with no love in his heart, with no like desire to be there, but God still works through that word that he shares. So it's like, what's the lowest level of obedience? It's just obedience where you don't even want to, but that's better than not doing anything. And we're not aiming for the lowest, but we need to take kind of like steps with that. Okay, so, and Curry Blake made an interesting point. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. One of them is they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So he said, if you lay hands on somebody and you don't see them be healed or you don't see them recovered, at least you're obedient to take that step to lay hands on them, and you know can work that out. But to just say, well, I'm not going to do it at all, that's now disobedience, and that's not the place where we want to be at. Travis, did I have 2 Timothy 4:2? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. So this whole sharing, preaching the word in season and out of season, I used to think that just pertained to the person that you're sharing the gospel with, or that I was sharing the gospel with, and that is true. But sometimes there's an in season or out of season for what I'm feeling for that day. So it's like, I don't feel like it, or I've got gym clothes on, or it's like whatever reason, I'm like, I don't think this person wants to hear this from me. That's maybe out of season for me, but I want to go ahead and be faithful to still share that word, still share the gospel with the person. And another fishing experience that I had that really illustrated this, it was December in Indiana. It had been raining for the week, and then it was snowing. Plus, it was like in the teen temperatures, and my resident director came up to my room, and he said, hey, I just found this in my freezer. You know, I'd frozen these little fish that I'd caught that used as bait. And it was finals week, so I was like, okay, let's go fishing, even though it was like really bad weather. So went out there. The river was super high, which when it's like that, it's hard to keep anything out in the water because the current just pushes it up to the side. So I built a fire. I'd cast out there. I was trying to do catfishing. And what happened, it just kept pushing my line up to the side. So I looked in my tackle box. Do I have any heavy weights or something? Like, what do I have? I just kind of felt my pocket. When I pulled out, it was a spoon from Baldwin, our cafeteria, that I'd forgot that I had in my pocket. So I was like, well, you know, tie this on there. Threw it out there, and like, hey, it got stuck in a rock or something, so it was out there. And I was out there with not much expectation, just knowing that, hey, the worst day fishing is better than the best day studying for finals. And sure enough, my line started feeding. I was like, whoa, what, you know, what's going on here? Picked it up, set the hook, and I ended up catching the biggest catfish I ever caught out of that river of years fishing from it, all out of season, all the conditions being wrong. And that's the thing with us too. Our eyes, our intellect, even, you know, the enemy could try to be convinced that that person, they look well-to-do, whatever. Like they're not going to. No, no, we need to get past that, and we just need to ask the Lord, what's the inroads for them? And one of the cool things is God will lead us with his eye, meaning, God, show me something that stands out. You know, have you ever walked past somebody who looks exactly like somebody else to you? A lot of times that's the Holy Spirit showing you, whoa, what's God bring to your mind with that person? How can you start that conversation with the person? And there's a guy at the YMCA that I've probably seen for over a year. And every time he goes into the sauna, he has headphones in that are blasting like heavy metal music. But do you know who he looks like to me? Almost exactly is David Olinger. So I've like always thought, man, I wonder if they're almost related, but he's got those in. Well, just like a week or two ago, I just kind of like tapped on the guy and he pulled it out. And that started the conversation. And I got the inroads. And then, you know, part of the thing in the sauna, like you're sweating, obviously, and I'll share with people, hey, you know, when I was really sick, when I was in my 20s, I couldn't even sweat at all. I used to have to wear an ice cold pack, you know, was a thing that I used to have to do with the multiple sclerosis. And it's just like all of a sudden it brings people into a conversation. It opens up their mind. You know, Revelation says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So imagine somebody who's never encountered or they've never felt the Lord's presence before. And it's like, sometimes I think people can feel like, I mean, you can kind of perceive it if you're sharing and it's like, if they get defensive or if they at all feel like they're on the hot seat, hey, just kind of switch and put yourself on the hot. And I start sharing what the Lord has done or, you know, different testimonies. And that is a way that you can reveal God to people. Okay, and then Philemon 1:6, there's a couple here I think I didn't give you, Travis, so no worries if you didn't. But it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. So we want to share our faith, not just share our faith, we want to share it effectively. The fact is, how do we do that? It's by acknowledging every good thing that's in us, every good thing that God has done. So even, thank you, sweet. You know, the YMCA, they see us carrying our little wagon with three kids, you know, people do all the time. And so somebody will bring up a conversation. And then, hey, it's a cool opportunity to share the miracle that God did for Joy and I. And, you know, that she did actually get pregnant after those years. Okay. And then 1 Timothy 4:16. This is kind of one of the promises I want to leave us on, and then I want to extend an invitation to everybody. So 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So I just want to stir up our faith for a moment right now. This says there is a way that those who hear us, everyone who hears us can be saved. Let me read that again. So continue in these doctrines, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So you know what? God has given us creativity and he's given us a way to have inroads with people and to see different things about people. Ask them about a tattoo that God will give you a question. Gabriel Miller, who's here, he and I were partners at the mall for one of the outreach nights. And after each encounter, you sit down with your team, whether it's two people or three people, and you kind of share what you felt like went well, or you felt like, hey, what you could do differently or better the next time. Well, as I was, Gabe and I were talking, I saw a table full of teenagers behind him. And it was just like this question popped in my mind that I'd never asked anybody before. And I was like, all right, Gabe, let's go over. Like the Lord just put it there, so I'm going to go on faith. Kind of quiet the voices of, well, they're teenagers, they've got earbuds in, da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. And so we just went over there, and I asked them, hey, my name's Eric, this is Gabe. Have you guys ever taken the Bible quiz before? And they're like, kind of, I was like, hey, it's only three questions. Do you want to hear it? They're like, looking at each other, like, all of a sudden, they're curious. I didn't even know what the three questions were going to be. But that's where the Holy Spirit came in, you know, and it was like kind of some fill in the blanks, like, You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the... You're right. And they didn't know that. They said something different. But it was, whoa, all of a sudden they're kind of captivated. They're kind of engaged. And it was the opportunity to get that in there. And then Gabe, he's also a teenager. Listen to this guy, Gabe. He shows up to these outreaches on Friday nights and he steps out. Yeah, Gabe. Because part of the thing we do is take turns initiating the conversation. You know, if you're two by two, like how Jesus sent out, you take turns who goes and initiates the conversation with the person. So it's like not just the talker who, you know, is initiating it all the time. It's both taking turns in developing that skill. So here's the homework assignment. It's actually two things. So one, here's the test. We'll say, in the past week, did you share the gospel with even one person in your life? And just saying, God bless you, Jesus loves you, that is sweet, but that's actually not the gospel. Like, people don't usually line up and give their lives to Christ. Just, you know, that might encourage them. I'm not downplaying that. But actually shared the gospel with somebody. And if not, I just had this wild thought. You know, so I've got a business that's teaching CPR classes to people. And part of, we've had people who've come back to us over 10 years because they said, you always help us know and be prepared for the test at the end. Because people, if they fail that test, they don't get the certificate. So really, we try to make people know what's going to be on the test so they're not surprised by it. Like, hey, we didn't talk about this. Why is this on here? Well, did you know one day we're going to stand before the living God who's going to be able to say, look what Jesus suffered and endured on your behalf. He wasn't going to be embarrassed for you. He took ridicule. He took people spitting on him because he was willing to stand up for you and for your identity. And what if as you're walking up to that throne before God, what if there's an angel that proclaims one of two things? What we want to say, what if that proclaimer says, he was not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ, because it was the power of God. Like, wouldn't that be versus they were a coward on behalf of Christ. They were so afraid they wouldn't ever even bring that up to a person, like a cowardly Christian. Like, so just imagine there is going to be a day that we stand before God and what we do matters. So the key thing to push us is his love, is acknowledging the good things that are in us. But there is a thing too of knowing, whoa, it's not just no big deal if I'm not sharing the gospel with people, if I'm not doing that. So first part of your homework is, do a little soul searching. What is it that keeps me? What lie is it that keeps me from being able to initiate that conversation with somebody? So identify that. And then two, if you don't have like a God, there's literally hundreds, if not thousands of gospel tracks that are, some of them are really cool. You know, I have one right now that says Your Life Matters. And it's like just going up to somebody. I have it in Spanish and in English. It's like people just appreciate seeing that, and then they can flip it over and it's got the gospel in it. So maybe find one that's maybe pertains to healing, or you can actually make a testimony card. Okay, so I have one that's the size of a business card, has my name and contact on it, and on the back it just shares my testimony and the gospel. Each one of us has that, and to give something like that personal to somebody can really open a door to their heart for what God can do in their life and what the gospel can do for their life. So those are the challenges. And then the invitation is this. If you have somebody in your life that you know is like really passionate for outreach or for evangelism, partner up with that person to go out and do it. You know, it's one thing to just talk, hey, we need to do this. But, you know, it can be tough if you're out with somebody that struggles with it as well. Like, you end up just kind of walking around and looking, praying for people, which is good. I mean, praying for them, not with them, but from afar. But that is good. But if you're actually wanting to have encounters and engage with people, I'd invite you to do that.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.